Fanball Podcast Network.
We're putting the band back together.
From the Twisted Minds, we brought you the original Fanball.
We had a bad pile enough to turn goat piss in the gasoline.
This is the Fanball Fantasy Football Podcast.
If you're dumb, surround yourself with smart people. And if you're smart, surround yourself with smart people who disagree with you.
And welcome back to another episode of the Fanball Fantasy Football Podcast.
That a way to hit it.
Hit it there. Ah, oh, John Tuvey is sitting across from me. We have a few drinks in hand.
Mine's vitamin water.
Mine is not. And Jay Clemens is on the phone down in Brazil or something. How you doing, Jay?
I'm in Atlanta, but yes, to you guys, it might as well be Brazil.
Yeah, it's somewhere where it's not, 15 degrees out.
So. Oh, I can't wait till Jay gets back and it's sub-zero.
Yeah,
for the next 3 months.
Well, that's the Debbie Downer here. It's 67 not 67. It was mid-60s yesterday, and it's probably just as warm. And then I'll be going to Detroit tomorrow for Christmas, and so that'll help me kind of bridge the gap between Atlanta warm weather, Detroit, and then because I've seen what you guys have coming on the weather app for next week, and the high apparently will be 1 degree.
Ooh, nice.
Ooh, heat wave coming.
I'm busting out my shorts. If we're going to get up to 1 degree, sweet.
Wow. Yeah. I just packed away my summer clothes, but I guess I'll get those back out.
Right. I don't want
to go ahead.
Be in this position where, like someone says, this is your best way to build an igloo. Trust us. It's the best way.
Nice. All right. So in the lobby on Fanball this week, we have a lot of awesome contests, as always, but we do have some Saturday-only slates. They are interesting. We'll have an article with some Saturday-only must-haves and values going up soon. It's an interesting slate because, in my opinion, not a lot of good players in that slate.
Well, there's one. I guess there's two teams playing for playoff spots.
Yeah.
But there's not. Yeah, I think interesting is the appropriate word here. It's a intriguing slate.
Yes.
Your knowledge will be tested. Your ability to identify Shinola in the piles of non-Shinola.
It's kind of one of those nice slates in where you can grab all the studs, because there aren't a whole lot of them. So go play some of those.
Where, how people like to do their Christmas. They don't like the Christmas shop during an NFL game because they're worried about what they're still missing. So if you're in a seasonal or a daily league, you're probably only starting Alex Collins and maybe Jeremy Maclin for that first game. So basically, if you're not starting those guys, you can go out and do your Christmas shopping and be back for a much more competitive game at night with Minnesota and Green Bay.
Yeah, that first game doesn't have a lot. I mean, Hilton's got a bad matchup. Maybe you're playing him or Doyle or whatever. But, yeah, just not
yeah,
a
Doyle,
lot.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you Doyle. Yeah,
so you can also draft Saturday only slate or Sunday slate or, the full gamut, I believe, on Fanball. We have this draft set up where you can go draft against 2, 4, 6, or 8 people. And there are free ones in the lobby. If you just want to go try it out, there are free ones. You don't win prizes, but they're free and you can try it out, see what it's like, see how incredibly awesome and fun it is. So go jump in there. And lastly, we do still have the Charch Chase Challenge going on. The Cha-Cha-Cha. It's fanball.com/Charch. And basically, if you beat Charch, you get a ticket into the week 17. That's only a couple weeks away.
That's the four Chas, the Chase Charch Challenge Championship.
There it is. Yeah. It's
sponsored by Cheetos. I think we got to get Cheetos
we
in
need to get
make
sponsors.
It the five Chas.
Yep. There it is. Week 17 championship where there's 15,000 in prizes, 5,000 to first. All you got to do is beat Charch this week, fanball.com/Charch. Now let's finally get into the values. So why don't we start with, let's just go around the room to Jay first. Wait, that doesn't work.
Well, we went a long way around the room.
That's
we
a long way around
down to Brazil, and then we'll work our way back up.
Yep. All right. Jay, who's your quarterback?
I have Alex Smith at $6,100. I don't really – it's not one of these things where it just sounds really great on paper and you think he'll dominate. Like, you take away the game against the Chargers last week where he had two touchdowns, and Smith has been actually quite deflating at home fantasy-wise compared to the absurd numbers he's been posting on the road. Mm-hmm. So – you know, it wasn't an obvious thing, but I have him, what, I think he's my number 9 quarterback for the week, which is still pretty good. But when you match up the $6,100 value to the number 9 ranking, it makes perfect sense. Plus, I'll give you one good stat. On the season, the Dolphins have surrendered the 10th most passing touchdowns to quarterbacks this year. So, you know, I think at the very least, Smith is a good lock for 240, 250 yards and multiple touchdowns. So I will definitely take that at the price of $6,100. The only thing I ask, if you're going to pick a low-key quarterback, and I say this pretty much every week, if you're going to pick a low-key quarterback, make sure you absolutely have a handcuff. So if you're going Smith, you better be going Travis Kelce as your handcuff at tight end.
Yeah, that's so you don't want to go a naked Smith this week. All right. yeah, Alex Smith, $6,100. It's one of those weird weeks where the very top quarterbacks, I think Newton's like $7,900. So you're not paying up a ton to get a top quarterback. But if you do need to save $1,600 or $1,700 or $1,500, Alex Smith, pretty decent option. He's been very good on the road this year. John Tuvey, who do you got? As long as it's not a Jaguar, we're going to be okay here.
Okay. He's more than a Jaguar.
More than a Jaguar.
He's like a silk-suited Jaguar, I think, Blake Bortles.
He's a new man. He's a new man recently.
Well, you know, he was the butt of a butt of the joke at the start of the season, and everybody followed Blake Bortles' facts on Twitter, and it was kind of funny. Well, it's very funny. It's one of the more entertaining accounts on Twitter. But over the past 3 weeks, he's averaging more than 300 yards a game. He's thrown 7 touchdowns without an interception. All of a sudden, he's winning people fantasy weeks in DFS, taking people to fantasy title games. And he's done it without Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, Marquise Lee most of the time. Did it without Leonard Fournette last week. And now he gets a 49ers secondary that's allowed 2 or more touchdown passes in 8 of the last 9 games. Mm-hmm. He may or may not get Leonard Fournette back. But actually the Niners have been pretty good against the run, so it's not going to be just hand the ball to Fournette 30 times and let him chew it up. You know, the no team has allowed fewer rushing yards over the last 5 games than San Francisco. So the Jaguars are still playing for a bye. I mean, wrap your head around that. The Jaguars could have a bye mm-hmm. in the first round of the AFC playoffs, and they're leaning on Blake Bortles this week. And for $6,500, I want in on that show.
Yeah,
count me in with Blake Bortles. And he has never not qualified for the World Cup.
That is true. He has never not qualified for the World Cup. It's weird that Bortles has become like a good option. Like people are starting him every week now. Where you tell me that before the season, that's shocking. I'm going to go a little cheaper here. I'm going to go with Eli Manning. I don't even like doing it, but he... But the Cardinals have allowed multiple touchdowns to 5 of the last 6 quarterbacks. Manning's got 6 multiple touchdown games. And he just had a huge game last week. And the Giants, since Manning's return from, you know, that unceremonious benching, they're passing over 50 times per game over the last couple games. 50-plus wow. attempts per game for Manning.
That's high volume.
Yeah. There's a lot of opportunity there. Plus, you kind of got to like that, you know, Patrick Peterson isn't going to follow Shepard into the slot. They got Matthew there. He's not going to do that. Shepard should have some play. Ingram should have some play. I don't expect any other wide receivers to have some play. But, I think he's an okay option this week at $5,900. He's, you know, 2,000 off the top guys. So.
That's a nice way to save some money. And like you mentioned with Shepard and slot receivers have been killing the Cardinals. And it's not that, Honey Badger and Buda Baker have been
no,
bad
they've been
in
good
coverage.
They've been good,
but I think through sheer volume, because you don't want to throw up Patrick Peterson.
Yep.
Williams on the other side has been fantastic. So here's your opportunity. Yep. And what did Shepard have for targets last week? Ridiculous.
Yeah.
What did you say?
Last couple weeks,
double digit targets. So Eli is going to lean on him.
And yep.
That's a nice way to pick up. You know, pay for the volume. Pay cheaply.
Yep. Exactly. All right.
Can I add one thing, guys, here?
Go for it.
Typically, when you have games going against teams that, and especially Christmas Eve that week, these games are either real dogs or they're very entertaining, and they almost surpass their expectations. Based on what you said about the Giants, I'm all in on this game because the Giants have allowed, the defense has allowed the most passing touchdowns and the most receiving touchdowns to tight ends. We'll get into that a little bit later.
Oh, yeah.
But just like it's scoring begets scoring. Like when one team picks it up, the other team either falls way behind or they match them shot for shot. So if you're telling me that the Giants are averaging 50 passes a game since Eli got benched that one week against San Francisco, then I'm all in on whatever you got for this week because no one has any expectations of good stuff, but yet I would be shocked if this wasn't an over and under of more than 50 points.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that it's going to be probably a pretty high scoring game. The over under currently on this game is 40. So,
oh my God, I know
pound the over, says Jay.
Well, yeah, but Larry Fitzgerald does wonderful at home. I'm not worried about the DJ Foster, Elijah Penny, Kerwin Williams dynamic for the Cardinals. Like, this has got high-scoring game written all over.
Yeah, yeah, I can definitely see that, especially the way the defenses are playing. Jay, who's your running back?
Well, it's funny. I'm glad you asked here because I have Kabree Bibbs for the Redskins. I've been touting him all week, and I refuse to get off that train here.
I don't think you should. I agree.
It's $3,000 for a guy that I guarantee will do well here, okay? And I've got a few reasons why. Bibbs looked great last week. In his one cameo, he snagged all four receiving targets for 47 yards and one touchdown on Monday or Sunday. I forget what day it was. Head coach Jay Gruden praised Bibbs' work and even talked optimistically about an expanded role in the offensive attack. It's human nature for Bibbs, who was his original team was the Broncos. It's human nature for him to want to do very well against his old team, especially
yep.
a Broncos team that has allowed the most receiving touchdowns to opposing backs all year. And then don't forget, the Redskins have averaged only 17 points since week 12, coinciding with Chris Thompson's season-ending injury. In other words, they absolutely need someone to fill that Chris Thompson void. For $3,000, guys, I'm all on board with Kabree Bibbs this week.
Love it. Love it. I liked Bibbs coming out of school. I think it was Colorado State. I heard an interview with him.
Had a graphic on him the other night of he has put the most seasonal touchdowns. He's like third or fourth all time for one.
Yeah,
season.
Yeah.
He's great.
I think he's one of only like four to have 31 rushing touchdowns in a season, something like that, or over 30 rushing touchdowns. But yeah, he seemed like he had a good head on his shoulder.
Else.
I like this call.
Yeah, P. Ryan is productive, but he's slow and kind of plodding and things like that. They absolutely need somebody like Bibbs to finish out the season. So Bibbs could actually be playing for an expanded role next year, although, you know, Chris Thompson will be healthy. At the very least, Bibbs is playing to audition to be that Chris Thompson role for another team next
right.
year.
Right, and $3,000, that's a great deal. You know, just quickly before we go to John on the other side, Devontae Booker, $3,800. No team has allowed more rushing yards over the last 5 weeks than the Redskins. And they've allowed a few, you know, guys, Elijah Penny, Austin Ekeler, Rod Smith, to have good games as second running backs. So he's a pretty good value there, too. I just was noticing on my write-up about that game. John Tuvey, who's your running back this week?
Well, I'm going to look into my crystal ball, try and decipher which Tennessee Titans running back you're going to want this week against the Rams. And the guy I like at $5,600 is Derrick Henry. Even though the Rams are no longer awful against the run, that's the way that the Titans are going to attack them, especially at home. And when you look at what Derrick Henry's done at home, he loves the home cooking. He's seen double-digit carries in four of his last five games at LP Field. No, wait. It's Nissan Stadium now. That's in Nashville. In Nashville, yes, Derrick Henry, yeah. The last five times he's played there, four games with double-digit carries. In those five games, he's scored three times. He's topped 100 yards twice. We know he's more effective than DeMarco Murray. Mm-hmm. At home.
Averaging over 5.5 yards right, per carry.
I know
home.
Fish has been working up some yards per carry stats and 5.5 per Henry. I think it's an opportunity. The way that the Titans need to approach this game is to grind it out and with that exotic smash mouth. And I think this is the one where Henry gets – he had 11 fewer carries than DeMarco Murray last week. That's ridiculous. It's going to be much closer to a 50-50 split or Henry getting more carries. And if you're looking to pay down at the running back position, I think for 5,600, he offers some serious upside.
Yeah, I obviously like that a lot. I like Henry so much more than Murray this week, and that's almost a clear sign that it's not going to go that way. So
you're on the bus, so everybody else get off.
Yes,
I get it.
Okay, so where was I going
to
go with this?
You're going to go to your guy. It was going to be a sweet transition too.
Okay,
just really smooth.
Smooth transition here. My guy is Theo Riddick for this week. He's practicing in full. Yeah, Amir Abdul has come back. But the Bengals have allowed the second most rushing yards, the most receiving yards, and the most total touchdowns over the last 5 weeks. They're one of the worst in the league against running backs over the last 5 weeks. And against Minnesota last week, it clearly feels like the Bengals have just given up. They've just
Well, their coach has already said, I'm leaving at the end of the year. And what does that tell the locker room? The guys that aren't hurt. I mean, the ones that have stuck around for put in 15 weeks of hard work and they see those other guys that have tapped out, you know, aren't playing. They're down with a couple linebackers, and Joe Mixon maybe comes back this week, but there's a lot of people who are tapping out for the Bengals, and they got to look around saying, hey, I'm nicked up. What? My coach has bailed. My teammates are bailing. What, you know, other than putting something on tape? And, yeah, it's not going to be pretty. Unless you are a Theo Riddick owner, I think it's a great opportunity for the Lions to run all over the Motors. It's the Motor City Kitties and the River City Growlers. I can't remember what the Bengals were.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what if they have a name. Yeah,
well, you're right about the Motor City Kitties, but yeah,
yes, definitely Motor City Kitties. Also, the
Queen City. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah.
Riddick's averaging nearly 5 catches per game over the last 3, and the Bengals' defense is allowing nearly 13 yards per catch to running backs over the last 5, which is one of the worst in the NFL. So
5 catches at 13, that's already a good day.
Yeah, that's already a good day.
65 in the there's a touchdown for Theo Riddick.
$4,500 for Riddick. I'm going to throw this one in here just because he's $3,100. Bottom barrel type of deal, kind of like Bibbs. Mike Gillisley, revenge game. New England versus Buffalo. Rex Burkhead almost certainly out, has not practiced all week. It sounds like, you know, it sounds like even if he is, you know, getting better, they'll rest him, you know, because they don't need him.
Right.
So Gillisley, revenge game, 3,100. There's not really anything more than that. Just so, let's move on to wide receivers. Let's see if there's a smooth transition there.
Nope.
Let's go to a wide receiver whose name also starts with a G. That's terrible. Ted Ginn. Jay, your guy is Ted Ginn. Tell us about him.
Did you just refer to him as terrible Ted Ginn? I like that. Now it's like a good wrestling
name. Nice. Oh, nice. Jay, tell us why we should all have Ted Ginn at $5,300 in our lineups.
$5,300. Thank you for mentioning that. You know, it's not the strongest of hunches here. Like the Kabri Bibbs thing kind of had like the evidence to back it up. This is kind of like an Alex Smith call where I'm feeling reasonably confident based on just some peripheral numbers. I will say against opposing wideouts, the Falcons have allowed what, bottom 10 numbers in terms of receptions allowed to the receivers and for targets, receiving yards and receiving touchdowns allowed. They're nothing better than middle of the pack. So that makes me feel good. But the reason I'm going with this pick is Drew Brees. Of his last eight, wait, let me pull up the stat here. Of his last 8 games against Atlanta at home since 2009, He is a perfect 8-for-8 in collecting either 300 yards passing and or 3 touchdowns.
Oof.
And during that prolific stretch at the Superdome, Breeze is averaging. He has ravaged the Falcons for 331 yards passing and 2.4 touchdowns per game. So you throw that all together, I think Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara will do very well. Hopefully they'll lead my team in a seasonal league to a championship. But at the same time, I expect Ted Ginn to get his normal Ted Ginn take at home of something in the neighborhood of 5 catches, 55 yards, and probably a touchdown. So it's not the strongest of plays, but Drew Brees' numbers tell me that you at least have to give Ginn, terrible Ted Ginn, a chance.
Wow. Yeah, wow. Those are some hella great numbers from Drew Brees in Atlanta, or against Atlanta. Wow, that's – did not realize that. yeah, wow. He did not have that running game for a lot of those, but
– No, that's true. See, everything needs to be couched with saying this is easily the most prolific rushing attack Brees has ever had, and we might even be talking about the years with the LaDainian Tomlinson. Like, this group is so good – that you kind of have to couch the numbers, but at the same time, I will bet every... I'm in Atlanta right now, okay? I will bet everything I own in this world that the Saints will win this game this week because they need it. Both teams need it badly, but the Saints are looking for revenge, and it just has all the makings of a Saints party of points, and so I think that'll play out.
By the way, just to touch on you betting everything you own, don't include your monitor in that. Because when you come back up here in January, it's gone. So sorry about that.
We can't find it.
Tell you guys, I'm never coming back.
It's not on my desk. So don't. It's not currently being used by me. I've created a mega desk since you've been gone.
That scene in Batman where he's tracking everyone's cell phone.
The office. All right.
You guys are in for a rude awakening when it's January 8th and I'm still not there. You know, I'm not going back.
We can only hope. Nice. I mean, it'd be good to see you.
All right. Who's your guy there, John?
Well, I'm going to stick in the NFC South, and I'm going to go back to last week's well because it worked out okay to
it did.
Identify Demir Byrd as a potential guy. And then what's the butt swag?
Butt drag swag
on what didn't look like a catch. I thought I probably saw 3 other catches that were not ruled catches over the weekend that were more of a catch than that. But hey, I'll take the touchdown from Byrd and another great matchup. He gets the Buccaneers, who have allowed by far the most yards to wide receivers this year and the third most touchdowns to wide receivers. They've also allowed 8 different wide receivers to go for 50 or more yards or a touchdown in just the last 5 weeks. Plus, add to that Devin Funchess is a little nicked up. Damian Byrd could be the entirety of the Panthers' outside passing game. I mean, they've got Greg Olsen back. They've got Christian McCaffrey. Those guys are obviously going to get their targets. But, man, against that Tampa Bay secondary, I think there's going to be some shots to the diminutive yet speedy Damir Byrd. And at 4,600, I'm jumping in that boat again. I think that'll work out.
I'm surprised the price jumped that much.
I like it, Chief.
Well, you know, Oz.
I like it. I've got Cam as my number one quarterback for the week. So
I do too. Yep.
I do too, and so does Charge. Bored. Everybody's got Cam as their one, it seems like. So watch him fail now.
No, we don't want that. And
this would be like 2 years ago when everybody in ESPN had Michigan State getting the Final Four and they lost in the first round in Middle Tennessee State. So let's hope that doesn't repeat itself here.
Yeah, yep. Jay, why don't you give us a tight end?
Ricky, don't lose his number. Let's go Ricky Seals-Jones, the tight end.
Oh, man, I'm so worried about that game. About those tight ends.
I'm not going Ricky Seals-Jones. I'm sorry. I changed my pick at the very last second. I'm going Eric Ebron.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Here's the reason. Yeah, again? Ricky Seals-Jones.
Just for the listeners, when Stanton was in, Jermaine Gresham had 89 yards and 2 touchdowns in the 2 games with Stanton. And all of Seals-Jones' stuff came with Gabbert. So, like, I'm wondering if it was a Gabbert connection or if it was just Ricky Seals-Jones emerging. So it's a great matchup there. I guess I'd lean RSJ, but, man, that's a tough call for me. But luckily, Jay is going to tell you all about Eric Ebron at 4,300.
Well, no, but the reason I went originally Seals-Jones is I had felt pretty good about him. And then I looked and I was shocked to see that Seals-Jones is actually, what, $400 to $500 more than Ebron.
Wow.
So Ebron, we're talking in the last 5 weeks, guys, he ranks among tight ends. He's in the top six for receptions, targets, and receiving yards. And touchdowns, I think he's at one or two. So he's not horrible in that regard. So if you're riding a red-hot guy against a defense that is injury-wrecked and is essentially given up, why wouldn't you do Ebron for a cheaper price? So I was all set to go Steelers-Jones because the Giants have the worst passing defense against the quarterbacks in terms of touchdowns allowed, and for tight end touchdowns, they also rank dead last in the NFL. So that would have been a great pick, but I was just shocked to see that Ebron, you know, $4,300 is rather affordable for a guy that you're comfortable with him putting up good numbers, you know, hopefully something in the realm of 60 yards, five receptions, and a touchdown. So to me, this made more sense than Seals Jones, even though Seals Jones probably has the better matchup on paper.
Yeah, that's you're right. I mean, definitely the better matchup, but there are concerns. And Ebron is so much safer for so many dollars less.
Sure, I'll acknowledge because Matthew Stafford isn't, you know, you can't bring him down. You can't take him down. The mangled hand problem is no one's worried about that anymore. The receivers are doing a good job of getting downfield, or at least taking away the attention from Ebron. So Ebron has been wonderful. He runs a lot of those seam routes like Gronkowski and Tom Brady do for the Patriots. So, and he's really got crossing routes as well. I don't know if Ebron will be back with the Lions, but he certainly finished strong. And I certainly respect the effort that he's put in to these last 5 days.
I think Jay is now regretting burning his Eric Ebron jersey like he did ceremoniously in the offseason.
No, I don't own any Lions apparel, not a single. I had a Detroit Lions watch when I was a kid, and that's pretty much it.
All right, let's John, why don't you tell us about somebody super old?
I'm going to turn back the clock. This guy is almost as old as me, not quite, but
I think he's like
basically almost.
I think he's a couple months younger than me, actually.
Well,
so he's about my age.
Yeah, and
he
and
is.
You run slightly faster than him.
He is 8 months younger than me.
You may have more yards after catch than him.
It's possible.
He's more of a fall after catch guy, but. With Hunter Henry on injured reserve, there's one more rodeo, one more hurrah for Antonio Gates before he kicks in the countdown to Canton. The Chargers have targeted their tight end. You know they love their tight ends. They've targeted them at least six times each of the last four games, scored tight end touchdowns in three of them, averaging six catches, 70 yards over that span. With Henry out, Anthony Lynn says it's going to be some sort of committee. But I just don't see Jeff Cumberland and who was the other, Seth McClure?
Yeah, something like that.
Jumping
remember.
In and taking. When Phillip Rivers gets in the red zone, he looks for Antonio Gates. So the five teams that have been targeting tight ends at the level the Chargers target tight ends against the Jets have gained 302 yards and six touchdowns in five games. So do the math. You're going to get some tight end stats against the Jets. This is it. He came in, got the touchdown early on to set the record. He's on his way to Canton. One more time, you can trot out Antonio Gates, put him in your fantasy lineup, get some productivity, and then slowly ambles down the road to the Yellow Jacket.
Nice. I like it. I like it. At the $3,600 price tag, obviously we didn't know Hunter Henry would be placed on IR at that point. That's such a good price for him. I'm going to give you my wide receiver and tight end right in a row.
Wow.
Because I forgot to give you guys my wide receiver.
I thought maybe you just didn't have one prepped.
I was
maybe
wondering
they're
why
teammates
we
or...
so quickly. I was like, was I not paying attention? Okay, good.
There's just too many really good wide receivers. Keelan Cole's a good value at like $5,500 in there. I went with Paul Richardson, though. The numbers haven't really been there lately, but the targets are. And eventually, I think that turns up. And I think that this game... could have, you know, a decent amount of points with both Seattle and Dallas and Zeke Elliott back and both of them really trying hard for one of those final, you know, couple playoff spots there. Richardson has led the team in targets each of the last 2 weeks. He's led the team in targets several times this year, seven in each of the last 2 weeks. And Dallas is bottom five against wide receivers. They've allowed the most touchdowns to wide receivers in the NFL. And since week 10, they've allowed 13 different wide receivers to either hit 50 yards or score a touchdown. In that same stretch, eight different wide receivers have touchdowns. I think there's a lot of value here for Paul Richardson, who is getting the targets still. And $5,300, it's a pretty dang good price. But Moving on to tight end, $4,500. My boy Cameron Brate, OJ Howard on IR. Cameron Brate led the league in tight end touchdowns last year. He is back with Jameis Winston back in the lineup. He's averaging about four catches a game. I know the Panthers are pretty good against tight ends, but they've allowed 3 touchdowns in the last 5 games to tight ends, and they've given up 130 yards and 2 touchdowns over just the last 2 weeks. I love Brate with Winston, and I can't help it. $4,500 seems crazy low, but maybe at that point they thought Howard was going to play.
Well, yeah, the IR move just came yesterday, so I'm sure Oz did not have an opportunity to reset the Munchkins and the Flying Monkeys and whatever else Oz needs to do to set up. And we've talked about this before. Jameis Winston absolutely locks in on Cameron Brate.
Yeah, now, he does.
Last week he kind of had the Mike Evans that he needed to feed, but no OJ. And ooh. Evans got his. I like the Brate pick.
Ooh, I have a fun stat here.
Here it comes.
Yeah. Brate's averaging just under 4 catches a game. and part of that is because of friggin', Fitzpatrick. But every single tight end with 4 catches or more against Carolina has had at least 60 yards.
Every single one. And they're going to have some linebacker issues this week too. Thomas Davis is out on the suspension. I believe they have Shaq. I believe he's out as well.
I keep thinking Shaq Griffin, but it's not Shaq Griffin.
No.
It's Seattle.
Shaq Lawson?
Yeah, Shaq Lawson. There you go.
Out or injured.
Shaquille O'Neal is also out for this.
Yes, he is.
I would not want to face Shaquille O'Neal. He will not be playing
this week. All right. You know what? That's it. Let's wrap it up.
Values for one day.
Yep. We're a little over, so let's call it a day. Thank you for calling in, Jay. Thank you for being here, John Tuvey, because it's your job to be here. So for Jay Clemens at MIN_JayClemens, despite the fact he's in Atlanta.
Brazil underscore Jay Clemens.
Yeah, you need to change that underscore every time that you're in a different city.
Where in the world is Jay Clemens?
Yes. It shouldn't just be where you live. It should be wherever you're currently located. How's that sound, Jay?
I don't know.
seems like a lot of work.
It does seem like a lot of work.
He knows I'm trying really hard to rent out my apartment for Super Bowl week, so I may be in somewhere else for that week. A remote location.
Well,
maybe I'll go to that city in Wisconsin that has all the indoor the water park,
Yeah. It's.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that one city in Wisconsin that has indoor plumbing.
No, but I was talking about booked. The Dells.
Dream vacation.
The Dells don't have indoor plumbing. You just go in the pool when you're at the Dells.
No.
I don't. I was joking. I lost my train of thought.
You had Jay's Twitter handle, GPS underscore Jay.
I was going to say it's going to be tough for Jay to rent out his apartment, because normally in a Super Bowl city you have 2 sets of fan bases, but one of the fan bases for this Super Bowl already lives here.
That's
they don't need your apartment, Jay. So
it's gonna need to rent it out to Jacksonville people. And do you really want Jacksonville people in your house, Jay?
Yeah, so if you keep a track, it's the Dells underscore Jay Clemens. That's my new
The Dells underscore Jay Clemens. All right. And for John Tuvey, at Jay Tuvey. For myself, at ScottFish24 on Twitter. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.